Everybody said, amen. You know, the singing here is always tremendous, always has been. And we appreciate it a lot. It's always, it's helped calm my heart a little bit this morning as I get ready to stand up here and bring you the Word of God. And it's always, surprising is not the right word because it doesn't surprise me. But it's always amazing to me the way God works. And we had a song, Power in the Blood. Good song. The choir sang a song that says, Jesus' blood, you know, could take away your sin, make the vilest sinner clean. The title of today's message is, Nothing But the Blood. Now, I didn't talk to Susan and tell her to sing that song. Didn't talk to Farron, tell him to pick a song. That's just the way God works. And it's always amazing that He does those things. And Bill kind of got tickled at me. I was down here and we were singing Power in the Blood, and I kind of sang it the old way. You know, we used to sing, there's power, 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 wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. So he was laughing at me because I was I was down there. But, you know, that's good. There's power in the blood of the Lamb. This morning's text will come from Hebrews chapter 9, Hebrews chapter 9, verses 19 through 22. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 19 through 22. And while you're turning there, the majority of the scripture will come from Hebrews 9 and 10. There will be a few other places that I'm going to, just short pieces that I'm going to read in other places, which if you want to turn, you can. But the majority of it is going to come from Hebrews chapters 9 and 10. So Hebrews chapter 9, verses 19 through 22. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this opportunity that you've given me to stand before this congregation and bring your word. And Heavenly Father, I realize that without you, there's no way that I could do it adequately. So I just ask that you would be with me as I bring this message, that you would give me the words to say, and that I might speak them boldly. And Heavenly Father, that we all might have open hearts and minds and receive your word. And Heavenly Father, realizing that the main purpose today is to bring honor and glory unto you, our Savior. Heavenly Father, these things I ask in Jesus' lovely and precious name. Amen. All right, so I think the first thing we need to look at here is that to realize that no matter what circumstance, blood is essential. Blood is essential for physical life, for one thing. Without blood, you wouldn't be sitting in that pew. You wouldn't be alive. Brother Stan talked about it once before when he, on one of his messages, that the blood, and it's kind of your blood system is kind of, they say now, its own separate system within your body, but the blood conveys oxygen and nutrients to every single cell in your body. There's not a single cell in your body that can stay alive without blood. Not one. And not only does it carry the oxygen and the nutrients you need, it carries away the waste once the body uses or the cells use those nutrients. So without blood, there's no possibility of physical life. None whatsoever. Then we look at spiritual life. It's the same way. Sin has separated man from God, and man, because of that sin, became spiritually dead. Spiritually dead. So sin separated mankind from God, and so we're dead in our trespasses and sins. But we have remission from sin. See, it tells us in that verse, Without the shedding of blood is no remission. So we have remission or forgiveness of sin because of blood. And it's that blood that makes spiritual life possible. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. So see, it's the blood. The blood is what's important. So in after God brought Israel out of Egypt, He set forth a series of laws and different things. So He set up rules for sacrifice for sin. You can be found in several different places. In Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers all have certain things concerning that. But He set up rules for sacrifices. And they would sacrifice an animal, all right, for sin. They would use that blood. So, and this, the animal had to be a yearling. Had to be a yearling. And it had to be a yearling for a specific reason. The older something gets, the more blemishes it gets, doesn't it? We can all attest to that. The older it gets, the more blemishes it gets, or the more spots it gets. So the sacrifice was said to be, had to be a yearling, because you had to try to find an animal, what? Without spot and without blemish. You had to give the best there was to God. He wants our best. He doesn't want our worst. He doesn't want an old dried up animal that has spots and blemishes. He wants something as close to perfect as He can get it. So these animals had to be yearlings. They had to be without spot and without blemish, and they were chosen really according to kind of your social standing. He didn't expect someone who was poor to have an expensive animal. That's why some people, you know, even sacrifice doves. So the sacrifice had to be picked or chosen according to, of course, its age and without spot, without blemish, and according to your social standing or your ability to provide that sacrifice. Then one of the other rules was that it had to be sacrificed in a certain place. You couldn't just sacrifice the animal anywhere and then bring it to the temple. That wasn't allowed. It had to be sacrificed where? Actually, in the presence of God and the priest. So they would bring it to the temple and stand outside the gate of the congregation, and the animal was sacrificed there. And where, or in the, it was, if it wasn't the temple, it was the tabernacle. Yeah, the tabernacle. It had to be at the tabernacle, because what? The tabernacle was the dwelling place of God. So it had to be sacrificed in the presence of the priests, in the presence of God. So then it had to be sacrificed, and the priest had to sacrifice first of all for himself. That's the first thing that had to be done. And the priest sacrifice was always a bullock, a male of the first year, of course, without spot, without blemish. And he was, so he had to sacrifice for his own sin first, and then after he sacrificed for his sin, then he sacrificed for the sins of the people. So they had to be, like I say, had to be killed in a certain place, and the tabernacle and the temple were representations, really, of the throne room of God. That's what they represent. They're kind of an image of the throne room of God. So the sacrifice was chosen without spot, without blemish. It was killed. And then there's something else that had to happen. You couldn't just pick the sacrifice, and you just couldn't kill the sacrifice. You had to apply the blood. The blood has to be applied. If it isn't applied, it isn't any good. At Passover in Egypt, what had to happen for the blood to be effectual? It had to be applied to the doorposts and the lintels, didn't it? And that way the death angel passed over. Well, it's the same thing for these sin sacrifices. Whenever these sacrifices were made, the blood had to be applied where? to the mercy seat. To the mercy seat. So it had to be to be applied. Leviticus chapter 9, verses 7 through 9. And Moses said unto Aaron, go unto the altar, and offer thy sin offering and thy burnt offering, and make an atonement for thyself and for the people, and offer the offering of the people, and make an atonement for them, as the Lord commanded. Well, that's not the one I wanted, but anyway, what the priest would do is he would go into the Holy of Holies, and he would sprinkle the blood on the horns and on the mercy seat, and he used that blood, and that blood covered the sins of the people. That blood covered the sins of the people. So the sacrifice had to be applied to the mercy seat. But there was a problem with these Old Testament sacrifices. There was a problem with them. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of things that can never, with these sacrifices they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged would have had no more conscience of sins? But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. So the problem is the sacrifices weren't adequate to take away sin. I don't know if you noticed the wording I had a second ago. I said cover sin. So they put that blood of those animals on the altar, and it didn't take the sin away, it just covered it. And it lasted for a year. And every year, the priest had to again make a sacrifice for himself. He had to again sacrifice for the people to cover that sin for another year. So there was a problem, and notice there it said, for the law having a shadow of good things to come. So the sacrifices of the Old Testament pointed toward Calvary. All of those Old Testament sacrifices were just a shadow of good things to come. Better things to come. So now we have these Old Testament sacrifices. They covered sin. And why do you think the blood wasn't good enough? Why wasn't that blood good enough? No matter how good an animal you picked, no matter how hard you tried to make sure it was spotless and without blemish, that sacrifice was not perfect. And the reason being is, when Adam sinned, he didn't just bring sin to mankind. It says, when by one man sin entered into where? Into the world. The earth was cursed. The ground was cursed. Everything was cursed because of sin. So these animals, as perfect as you tried to pick them, and as perfect as you tried to make them, were still not adequate for the sin debt. So these sacrifices only covered sin. When Adam sinned, all creation was affected. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 9 through 12, kind of tells us about that, about that the sacrifices pointed toward Christ. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 9 through 12. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first. See, taketh away the first sacrifice, that he may establish the second, by the which we still are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering sometimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. So see, the big difference between the Old Testament sacrifices and Jesus is that His sacrifice was sufficient to do the job. So His sacrifice was sufficient, and His blood is different than the blood of those bulls and goats because those bulls and goats just covered up sin. Jesus' blood completely washes it away. It's kind of like when you wash your hands and the dirt goes down the drain. You don't see it anymore, do you? It's completely gone. It's washed away. That's the way Jesus is. His blood completely washes away sin. It's not there anymore. What does it say? It says, as far away as the east is from the west. Now, why is that? Why is that possible? First of all, His blood was not affected any at all by sin, nor was He. That's why His sacrifice is so much better. He's perfect. He's holy. He's righteous, see? And He's the righteous Lamb of God. The other song that the trio sang, before He hung the moon, He was what? He was thinking about you. What's it tell us about Jesus? That He was a lamb slain, as a lamb slain when? Before the foundations of the world. So He was as a lamb slain. Before Jesus or God was thinking about you before He ever formed the world. He was thinking about us all because before He founded the world, before He made the world, before He spoke the world into existence, He provided a way. He had a plan to provide a way for us to be near Him, to have fellowship with Him, to be with Him forever. So He was the sinless Lamb of God. Isaiah 53:7 says He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. John 1:29, when John the Baptist saw Him coming down to be baptized, what did he say? Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So Christ died for you. He died for me. He shed His blood for you. And remember, without that blood, it's impossible to have remission of sin. You have to have the shedding of blood to have remission of sin. So He shed His blood for you. And do you remember the title of the sermon was Nothing But the Blood. Nothing but the blood. There's only one blood that'll work, and that's the blood of Jesus. Now, what did Jesus do after He shed His blood at Calvary? He was raised from the dead, and where did He go? He went to heaven. To sit where? In the right hand of Jesus. And what did we say about the tabernacle and the temple, that they were images of what? The throne room of God. So what's in the throne room of God? There's a mercy seat there. And Jesus' blood was applied to that mercy seat. Does that mean that everybody in the world is automatically saved? Absolutely not. It has to be applied to you. And to be applied to you is all you have to do is accept Christ as your Savior. So, when you receive Christ, then the blood is applied. See, it's already been applied to the mercy seat. It just has to be applied to you, charged to your account, and everything will be just fine. So, you know, the world tells you lots of things. The world tells you that, you know, money can't buy you salvation. No blood involved. Money can't buy you the blood. Church membership can't buy you a way to heaven. It's not the blood. You have to have remission of sin, and it's not the blood. The only thing that can get you remission of sin is the blood of Jesus. Blood of bulls and goats can't do it. Never could, never will. So if you're here today without Jesus, there's only one way to get to heaven, and that's by Him, through His shed blood. If you'll come, I think we're ready for a song of invitation.